episode 11.5 of Boobs, Blades, and Body Art, a lady's guide to nerddom. Today's episode is going to be all about couples who kill, and will be brought to you, as always, by myself, Becky, and
me, myself, Becca.
Woo!
Look, I remember my name, I good.
5 stars for you.
Oh, a whole 5.
A whole 5, yeah. I figure you may as well get as many as possible for remembering your name so that it encourages you to keep remembering your name.
Eventually, I'm just going to be completely covered in stars.
Yeah.
It'll be when the next time we do a live one, I'm just going to be head to toe in stars with just a pair of eyes poking out.
It's going to be your Twilight impression.
Yes, I will be the glitteriest vampire. And I will go and find myself a really annoying girlfriend.
I mean, it's not going to be that hard, really, is it?
True, I'll just go find a Twilight fan. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about couples who kill.
We are indeed.
And we're going to talk about proper, like, horrible people in this one. So, But we're going to do a little honourable mention to a couple that everyone always thinks of when you say this.
Yes.
And that is, I think I've alluded to them before, and that was Bonnie and Clyde. Because Everyone associates Bonnie and Clyde with, like, oh, they were the glamorous crime couple.
Yeah.
And they robbed loads of banks, and everyone loved them. And, okay, they were some of the worst criminals.
Yeah.
They
killed 3 people, and all of them were policemen.
Yeah, they murdered coppers. They were quite dumb as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's the famous photos that we have of them, of, like, them posing on the car and Bonnie pointing a gun at Clyde's chest.
Yeah.
That was because they just took those pictures for funsies and then left the film roll behind when they kind of ran away. So then the police had wonderful photos of what these criminals looked like.
Yeah, and then it's just like, hey, look, if you see these people, call us.
And, yeah, everyone always thinks they robbed, like, loads of banks and they were part of this big gang. They robbed at most, like, 15, and probably most of those weren't that successful.
Yeah.
I think one bank they infamously tried to rob and it was basically empty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, powerhouses there.
Well,
the thing they wanted to be famous. They wanted to be this... Bonnie wanted to be an actress. They would find magazines for her. She sort of used to write poetry as well, apparently.
Yeah.
She's kind of adorable. In a weird way.
The best weird way. The really interesting thing as well is, obviously, for everybody, it's Bonnie and Clyde, but Bonnie wasn't actually married to Clyde, and vice versa.
Though she was married.
She was married. Yeah.
But to someone else.
Yeah, she was married to her high school classmate, Roy Thornton. They married 6 days before Bonnie turned 16.
Because that's not ominous.
Yeah.
Like, I just found, so most of the time, Bonnie and Clyde robbed what they call mom and pop gas stations. So little, you know, family-run gas stations, with the most of them making off with, at times, $10.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, that's a real glamorous lifestyle. They both had severe joint problems as well, I think, due to being shot. They both walked with pronounced limps. It was painful for them.
Yeah, Bonnie's was after a car accident.
That was it. She got in a car accident.
Yeah.
Very sad. It was quite sad because, of course, they became famous, and then when they died, everyone knows about the death, the trap with the car and the car getting riddled with bullets.
Mm-hmm.
It became quite a morbid spectators' show when they tried to take the car containing the bodies through a town to get it to a coroner. People started jumping up and trying to cut things off of the bodies,
yeah,
and take the clothes. And someone tried to take Clyde's trigger finger.
Yeah.
Because he was so good at shooting people. But they tried to do that. But what came quite sad of it is Bonnie's family wanted to have a very private funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, thousands of people turned up.
Yeah.
So, guys, don't be so mean. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde wouldn't really happen now. As I said, they weren't very good. So now if they tried to start up, they'd get caught really quickly. But it's why I find it really funny when people like dress up for Halloween as Bonnie and Clyde. Because
yeah.
They're like, oh, they're the ultimate couple. They were all about love and they were the best Robin Hood gangsters. And it's like, not gangsters. Gangsters actually hated them because they were bringing them a bad name.
Yeah.
They were terrible and Bonnie was married.
Yeah. So, one of the really interesting things with Clyde in particular is he chopped off two of his toes whilst in prison. He was serving a 14-year sentence in Texas for robbery and automobile theft. And he decided he could no longer endure the unforgiving work and brutal conditions at the notoriously tough East Ham prison farm. In the hopes of forcing a transfer to a less harsh facility, he severed his left big toe and a portion of a second toe with an axe.
I mean, that's one way to get out of it.
Yeah. He left, obviously that left him permanently crippled.
Hence the saying about they both had quite a bad limp. That would be where his came from.
It actually prevented him from wearing shoes whilst he was driving. And it basically was proven unnecessary because he was released on parole 6 days later. So he chopped off his toe and half of another one just to be released on parole 6 days later.
I stand by my previous statement of they weren't the criminal masterminds people seem to think they were. I can't think, there was a kind of a more famous gangster at the time whose name is completely escaping me. He actually made a comment about Bonnie and Clyde and he said they were the worst gangsters he'd ever met. And he did not want to be associated with them. If you've got people saying that about you, but it was because they were seen as these, you know, they got all this fame and notoriety and people still talk about them today. You still get films made about them. People still reference them. Hence, like, you see costumes, people dressed up as them and you know who they are.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? There are way more interesting, horrible people. And also, don't dress up as horrible people. That's really weird. I've got a real problem with people who think it's fun to dress as serial killers for as a costume. But that will be for a different thing.
It will. Just to go back to Bonnie's marriage with Roy, she was still wearing her wedding ring when she was murdered. When she was, I mean, yeah, technically it's murdered, when she was shot. They got married in 1929. She was shot in 1934. She was still wearing this guy's wedding ring, and on her right thigh, she had two interconnected hearts labelled Bonnie and Roy.
Yep, so all this, she was totally in love with Clyde.
Yes.
I mean, I imagine she was. Very much the way it's described if you read about them, she was more infatuated with him. She was just kind of more obsessed with him. And I think it would have been interesting to see if they had just been arrested and they'd been separated apart, what would have happened? Because probably if she hadn't been around him for a long time, maybe the novelty of Clyde Barrow would have worn off.
Yeah.
Also, I really enjoy his name. Clyde Barrow is a really funny name and it does sound like he should be making wheelbarrows for a living.
It does. Maybe that's where it came from.
It could have done.
History,
I think his dad ran a gas station, actually. But anyway, they only get an honourable mention because they weren't very good, and the people they killed, they didn't really intend on.
Yeah.
So, and as I said, I'm not saying that these next two couples are lovely people or good at what they did. Unfortunately, they were kind of good at what they did, but it's nice. Again, if we say we like or find these people, you know, it's interesting, we just find them interesting.
Yeah.
So the next two I think we should bring up is definitely Myra Hindley and Ian Brady, who are infamous for what were called the Moors murders that happened in the 60s.
Yes. I think a lot of people, when you say like couples who kill, they are definitely one of the ones that always springs to mind. The other one we mention is going to be like the main one that springs to mind, I think. But yeah,
I think we've kind of covered, like, if you said it in the States, I'd say you'd get Bonnie and Clyde. If you say it in the UK, I think you'll get the two that we're going to talk about, because the two we are going to talk about are both from the UK, weirdly.
Yeah, they are, actually.
I guess we just produce murderous couples.
Yeah.
we produce, apparently, better murderous couples.
Yeah.
God, that's a horrible statement. But Moore's murderers are very famous. I think everyone probably knows those mug shots of Ian Brady and Myra Hindley. They're very infamous. They are quite, I mean, I don't know if I'm assuming you've seen them, but they are quite upsetting mugshots. They both of them do look quite sinister.
They do. Like, normally when you get mugshots are either, you know, like, they've been around for 100 years and they don't know how to look into a camera. But these two, they know where that camera is and they are staring that camera down.
His is particularly worse. I think it's because these photos are in black and white.
Yeah.
Due to the time that they were arrested. His eyes are almost black.
Yeah.
So it definitely makes him look a lot more sinister. I imagine if we could see, I don't know, his puffy red cheeks or something, he wouldn't look quite so scary.
Mm.
Those photos are famous and you'll see people put them somewhere to kind of get a reaction because they're infamous. And unfortunately, what we'll say is they murdered 5 children, and it was children between the ages of 10 and 17, all of whom, apart from one, have been recovered.
Yeah. So, just a quick, like,
content warning.
This will obviously be an episode where we talk about all sorts of things from murder, sexual assault.
Yeah.
Suicide, you know, basically this is not going to be a light episode, so just bear that in mind if you are listening.
Yeah, we will have to get better at putting those right at the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, Bonnie and Clyde aren't too bad. We didn't really mention too much about them.
No.
So, but these two and the next ones we're going to talk about, there's really not that much nice. So if you're not feeling great, turn it off. If you just don't want to listen to someone talk, listen to this one. Don't worry. Yeah. Next episode's going to be really fucking funny because it's going to be me getting angry.
Yeah.
So just skip to that one if you need to.
Yeah.
But okay. So from here on out, it's going to probably get a bit miserable. But so there were 5 children who were killed and at least four of whom were sexually assaulted. Again, they can't prove the fifth because they never found him, unfortunately. And I will say, what was his name? His name was Keith Bennett, and they are still looking for him.
Yeah.
His mother has never actually given up her search for him. Though both Hindley and Brady are dead now, she still searches for his body in the hope of finding it.
Yeah.
Which is fucking just amazing and so admirable. That's the word I wanted. Mm. And shows just how much mothers don't give up on their kids.
It shows a mother's love, doesn't it?
Yes. As I said, they both have passed away now. They actually both died of natural causes, I believe.
Both. One by pneumonia and the other by COPD, which is a lung disease.
Yes. So it was because I remember reading, because it was 2017 that Ian Brady died, and Ian Brady won. Ian Brady is, I'm definitely going to say, the worst of the two.
Yeah.
Myra Hindley actually helped find some of the other bodies, whereas Brady was never going to do that. Brady was definitely the monster of the two of them.
Yeah.
And he lived until 2017, and I remember seeing the papers when he died, and I was like, no one's mourning.
No.
No one is sad that he is dead. I actually did a painting of him. A piece of art. I know, it was about art being shocking. And of course, there's the infamous painting of Myra Hindley, so I was mirroring it.
Yeah.
Don't worry, that I think that got, I think I set that on fire. But yeah, so of course we're talking about these people. These murders occurred in around the Manchester area, so it is particularly felt still, hence the being called the Moors murderers. They took place on the Moors. These children were lured out onto Moors by Myra, often saying that she'd lost her dog. And you know, it made for a very long time, people still are, you know, very wary about people like this, and these are the kinds of people that start these rumors, and or you can't trust people who've lost their dogs, they might be out to murder you. Ian Brady and Myra Hindley are people that started that kind of rumor. Not even a rumor, it was true. They started this kind of legend, and people, even today, this happened in the 60s, people today are still kind of wary of it.
Yeah.
It's not something you can, like, joke about.
One thing that, like, a lot of people try to do with Ian Brady and Myra Hindley as well is say that, oh, well, you know, Hindley wasn't actually involved with it. You know, she just... All she did was lure the victims, which in of itself is bad. You should never say all she did, because that is still awful. You can't
say all she did was lure these children to be murdered and sexually assaulted. It's like, well, yeah, look, okay, no, I wouldn't be fine with that.
No. But she did actually participate in the attack and the sexual assaults of the children. You know, like, she was very much involved with it. It wasn't just a one-sided thing where she was kind of like pressured into helping, or, you know, just enjoyed the you know, like the thrill of capturing somebody.
No, unfortunately, yes, she everyone did like to think that she was, because I think it's the idea that she's the woman, and very much in the 60s the idea was, you know, I'm not saying it's the attitudes has changed, it shouldn't have been thought, but there was for a very long time the attitude that, well, women are just nice and they're friendly and they don't hurt people. Unfortunately, you know, they did. Women can be horrible and evil, and again, you guys heard our episode on women who kill. You know that women anyone who's seen women having a weird catfight outside a nightclub, you know they can be vicious. So the idea that people tried to explain away, and I think it very much Hindley's family tried to do this as well. They did try and be like, oh, but she didn't help. But she didn't want to kind of admit how much she'd done, but you could tell she was definitely guilty, because she went and showed where all these bodies were. If she wasn't kind of there for all of it, she wouldn't know where they were. So
they actually found photographs of them crouched over graves as well. So there's a picture in particular of Hindley crouching over John Kilbride's grave with her dog. And what they actually did was detectives got a veterinary surgeon to examine the dog to determine his age, and then, you know, compare his age to the photographs so they could tell when the things happened, you know, like when the murders actually happened. Unfortunately, the dog actually died whilst under general anaesthetic. Obviously, Hindley was not happy about this. Just, you know, she was in prison, so she was never going to get, like, the dog back anyway. But, you know, she was furious. Like, I think I would be furious too. You know, animal deaths are awful to me.
Everyone knows. I mean, I'm wearing enough for my cat. That sounds ominous.
It's one of the few times that detectives actually witnessed an emotional response from her.
She was always described as being a very closed lady. She never really... He was quite the same. He was always described as being very sinister, almost. He took more joy out of this side of things. And again, I think that kind of shows that he was... it's interesting when you read her statements about him talking.
Yeah.
Because he was apparently, even when they were starting to get together, he kept talking about wanting to commit the perfect murder.
Mm.
If you are getting together with someone and they talk about that, please run.
Yeah, like, you must
report
be into
them,
it
then
somehow.
Run.
Yeah.
Report them to someone, then run. Because it doesn't end well, and I'm pretty sure, you know, this is just how these things go. In fairness, when they arrested Brady, they didn't actually arrest Hindley straight away. But she kept demanding to go to the police station to be with him. Probably if she'd let him be arrested and just run, she might have actually got away with it.
Yeah.
Or at least for a little while. There's only so many places in the UK you can hide. I will say the photographs we've mentioned, I won't be sharing them on the social media because these are quite upsetting photos.
Yeah.
Even without context, you can kind of tell what's going on. We might put them in the Discord in an area, but if you want to go and see these photos, I suggest you research these topics yourselves.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much information we can give you. There is so much to these topics.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things. And in fairness, the trial, the arrest went on for so long.
Yeah.
With these two. There was reinvestigations. As I said, the later discoveries of certain graves.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is as well, when you're imprisoned, you can appeal. You know, you can have an appeal to be let free, you know, to have another trial, because you feel like it wasn't a just sentence that you've received. So as soon as that happens, you have to go through, you know, it's in the newspapers again, you know, so it's just constantly going. This story was just constantly out there. And one of the things that made it interesting in particular was, you know, these two are meant to be in love with each other and blah, 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 blah. But after their arrest in 1971, Hindley actually ended her relationship with Brady, because she had fallen in love with one of her prison warders.
Yes. I think it kind of shows she was quite impressionable.
Yeah.
What I was saying with Bonnie, I think it once they're away from these kinds of people, because I would go out on a limb and say Brady was quite a strong personality.
Yeah.
To the point of controlling. And the idea that once she's away from him for an amount of time, it's one of those things. I think it showed it. I think the thing, you know, these guys had not lasting notoriety like Bonnie and Clyde, and I think the photographs that they took, again, it's seeing it from the killer's point of view made it infamous. There is also apparently a tape recording of one of their tortures, which, you know, that was played in court, and there was all the records of their very nonchalant attitudes to what they'd done.
Yeah.
And it just made them these kind of the monsters. And of course, you had all the newspapers reporting this. And they were the biggest monsters of the UK at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was at the time the death penalty had left the UK not too long before. They actually considered bringing it back just for these two.
Mm-hmm.
That is how much they were despised by the UK collectively.
Yeah.
They considered bringing back the death penalty for these two and then overturning it again. I think, you know, my opinions are the death penalty is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you have to be 100% certain, and unfortunately a lot of the time people aren't. With Brady, I'm not sure, though.
Yeah.
If we hadn't, you know, but if Hindley hadn't died, I think it was at least two graves wouldn't have been found.
Mm-hmm.
But Brady was never going to give up any of those graves. He was never going to talk.
Yeah.
He was just a disgusting monster. So That's the thing, though. If they'd both been put to death, there'd be three missing bodies out there still. Whereas because they weren't... I don't know, maybe that'll be a controversial topic, talking about death penalty, but...
Yeah.
It's not a big thing over here.
No. The other interesting thing as well is in 1987, so bearing in mind they've been in prison for quite a few years now, the Manchester City Council actually decided to demolish the house in which Brady and Hindley had lived because there was an excessive media interest in the property, which was creating an unpleasantness for residents, you know, in the area who were living nearby. And, you know, I can imagine how hard that must be for them.
Well, it's one of those places that, unfortunately, people who think, for whatever reason, that serial killers are awesome and are a little too obsessed with them. Like I said, I can't throw stones. I'm very, very interested in serial killers myself. Mm-hmm. I knew who Myra Hindley and Ian Brady were, probably for a younger age than I should have done. Yeah. But I won't go around wearing t-shirts with their faces on, because that's disgusting. That's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, there are people, like I said, Keith Bennett's mum is still looking for him.
Yeah.
Imagine walking past her and you've got one of their faces on you. I think the one that quite angered me was, we were actually at a Vike show. We were sat in a pub and a woman walked past me and she had Myra Hindley's mugshot tattooed on her arm. And I was like, what could bring you to do that?
Yeah.
That woman had no redeeming qualities. Also, it was up north, so she was very brave to have that out.
Yeah, very brave.
So, yeah, no, I don't understand that.
No. If you do want a bit more information about Myra and Rosemary West, who we will talk about in just a minute, there was a 2020 television documentary called Rose West and Myra Hindley, Their Untold Story with Trevor MacDonald.
Oh yes, have you seen about how they became friends?
Yeah.
Because that's, I was going to use that as a perfect segue, because yeah, we're going to talk about Rose, well, friend, yeah, Rose West next. But actually, they became apparently friends in jail.
Yeah.
Because they were both in jail around the same time. They bonded because they had such similar crimes. They had an affair, apparently. Yeah. But it cooled down as apparently they became rivals to be prison royalty. Which because... is such a weird concept.
Yeah. Yeah, prison royalty is just mad. And yeah, on that note, we will segue nicely into talking about Fred and Rose West, who are the other very well-known couples.
Yes.
Murderers in the UK.
For reference, for how common I need to find the address actually, because so I can do the question, because I was doing a Trivial Pursuit game.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions, so this shows how dated it was what famous couple lived at 25 Cromwell Street? And that doesn't sound like too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Until you realise that is the address of Fred and Rose West.
Yeah.
And these people shouldn't be being joked about in a Trivial Pursuit. That is also the Trivial Pursuit set that had the weird thing about Waco. So I think Trivial Pursuit went through a phase of just being really freaking weird.
Yeah, probably.
So yes. Now we will move on, yes, to Fred and Rose West. These guys were a married duo. They killed at least a dozen young girls.
Yeah.
And several of whom were their children. I'm trying to remember, where were they operating?
They were
in Herefordshire.
Devon. Oh no, Devon. Sorry, that's where they were born. Yeah, so. Oh. Sorry.
It's fine.
Um,
But apparently, so, yeah. So one of their, I'll mention one of the kind of ones that started it. So they murdered a young woman named Carolyn Owens, and she was the nanny for their children.
Mm-hmm.
They had both apparently made multiple attempts to seduce her, which she had kept declining. I mean, quite understandably, if anyone's ever seen what Fred and Rose West look like. I think I could do better.
Yeah.
But after one evening where they had both attempted and unsuccessfully tried to seduce her, Fred threatened to have some of his friends over that would kill her. Mm. She managed to escape, I think, after that. Oh no, that was someone that actually got away. My bad. That was the first person. So that is a real warning sign.
Yeah.
She did, and again, she did the right thing. She reported, she pressed charges, but Fred was apparently charming enough, he convinced the court that the axe was he was forced into. He basically span it so it was her fault.
Yeah, which, you know, as anybody who knows how these things go for women in court, it does tend to be that the women are at fault, you know, it's always, well, you have to prove it to us, rather than we know that this is wrong, let's help the woman as much as possible.
That's the thing. So you've still got, this is, so we're actually in the 70s now, so the Moors murderers were before this. So everyone's kind of calming down after that happening, and then you have this going on. So you can understand why these two kind of are the most well-remembered, because they came in quite quick succession. They both did very similar crimes, and I think the reason Fred and Rose are more well-known is because they killed more people, but they also killed their own children. Mm-hmm. And again, they didn't really seem that bad about it, or seemed to feel that bad about it. So I think that incident occurred in 72, and after that, there was 6 years, they killed at least 8 young women who became lodgers at 25 Cromwell Street,
mm-hmm.
or came in as nannies. So, yeah. They even, I think, started with actually a friend, someone who they knew, who just apparently disappeared one day, and that's often the thing. These people just disappear as far as their families are concerned.
Yeah.
Or are told.
One of the, like, really horrible things with these two as well, is it wasn't just the murder and then burying them on the moor. Like, as bad as that sounds, like, obviously it was still very horrible, but these two, Fred and Rose, were dismembering them.
Well, what I'll say is there was one young woman they kidnapped in December. Her name was just trying to find it, Lucy Partington.
Mm.
They kept her alive for a week before they killed her. She was just raped, tortured, and then eventually killed.
Yeah. You get this a lot with what we were saying with Myra as well. You get a lot of people going, oh, well, Rose didn't do anything. You know, she wasn't part of it, but she was. She was very much a part of it. Like, she would sexually assault her children, and on one occasion there was their daughter, Anne Marie West,
mm-hmm.
who I think it was just Fred's daughter.
Yes.
And, you know, Fred would rape her, and Rose would actively encourage the rape, saying that it was, she explained to Anna, saying, everybody does it to every girl. It's a father's job. Don't worry and don't say anything to anybody.
He actually got her pregnant.
Yeah.
She unfortunately had a miscarriage. Or it was terminated due to an issue that happened. Mm-hmm. She thankfully, you know, escaped. But unfortunately, he then just moved on to the next child.
Yeah. Well,
so it became kind a of. Pattern. Well, yeah. It became a pattern almost.
Yeah. Because when she turned 13, they actually forced her to prostitute herself within the household. So her clients were informed that Anna Marie was 16, but Rose was always present in the room to ensure that the girl did not reveal her true age. On one occasion, Rose took Anna to a local pub where they insisted that she drank several glasses of barley wine. Several hours later, Fred arrived to collect them both. And once they had left the premises, Anna was bundled into her father's van and beaten by Rose, who asked her, "Do you think you could be my friend?" before she was sexually abused by them both.
So,
and, you know, it's just... Yeah.
Yeah, so, I think also the thing that made these two incredibly infamous was the disposing of the bodies. I mean, we're getting really heavy there by explaining about some of the stuff. I mean, let's lighten it by talking about how they got rid of bodies. I mean, none of this is exactly going to be able to lighten the mood. They, apparently it was mostly Fred. I imagine Rose probably did help occasionally. But they were all buried in, like, the garage floor, in the floor of the house, in the walls of the house, and in the garden. So there were all these bodies just all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, in fairness, once the kind of penny dropped and the police could get in that house, there was no way they could deny, because there was literally bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere they turned, there were so many. Again, with so they murdered a few children, which is just, it's weird to say so flippantly that they murdered a few of their children. Mm. There is only so much detail I want to go into describing what they did to their kids, because this is a short episode. There is a lot of horrible things these people did.
Yeah. They're like dates for the like assaults as well. It's such a long time before they were caught. You know, it was there were two unspecified assaults.
Yes.
But then the first one that's actually noted is 1965.
So and then 65, you're in the you get into 70s. They weren't actually exposed until 1992.
Yeah.
So you've got a long time, and I know Sid talked about how, you know, Myra Hindley and Ian Brady were quite in the consciousness. They're still in the consciousness now. As I said, we're talking about them. They're still around. You can show probably anyone in the UK a picture of Myra Hindley and Ian Brady, and people will probably know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Fred and Rose West also, we were actually saying about how these two ladies have a very distinct look.
Yes.
They actually got caught because Fred videotaped himself raping one of his daughters. She told some friends of hers, and one of them reported it to the police. I don't know what the other one was doing, but what the hell.
Yeah.
Basically, when the police... Fred, of course, had gotten in trouble a few times, as I said, with the woman I mentioned mm-hmm. the first time. So when they kind of heard about this, they were like, well, actually, this guy's kind of got a bit of a record. So they didn't just dismiss it, which is, you know, amazing. In the August of that year, they searched the house for evidence of child abuse. As I said, as soon as they got in that house, that was it. There was definitely something up.
Yeah.
Fred was arrested for rape and sodomy of a minor, and Rose was arrested as his accomplice. While being processed, the young children that were still in the house became went into the care of the government. Shockingly, once they were out the house and everything started unfolding. The house was getting searched. I think that the big statement that I remember reading from one of the police officers is the house had a smell.
Yeah.
And you can imagine that because there's a lot of bodies in throughout this house.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was one of those things. They interviewed the kids, of course, because they still had some of these children who were still walking around. Heather was the one, not Heather, that one of them mentioned that they had been threatened by Fred that they would be buried under the patio like Heather.
Yeah.
So, of course, if they, if you hear that kind of statement and you know this guy's already a wrong un, you go and look under the patio. And of course, when they looked under the patio, there was Heather.
Yeah. They're not very nice people. Let's just put it that way.
As I said, the fact that I'm still kind of bemused by the fact that her and Myra Hindley were friends.
Yeah.
But argued over being prison royalty.
Had an affair with each other. Like...
Oh, God, that's... Blech.
In other news, though, I do want everybody to go and have a look at a picture of Rose West and decide whether or not you think that she also looks like your grandma.
we were joking about this actually. This is a nice lighter bit we can talk about. Yeah. We were joking that because like my grandma looks so much like Rose West, it's actually upsetting.
Yes, so does mine.
Becky sent a picture of her grandma, and for when we were getting ready for a little while, I just had her eyes and top of her head staring at me from my screen, and it was quite unnerving. We're saying it's the big glasses, that short hair that for some reason every grandma kind of rocked for a little while. And the funny jumpers.
Yeah.
That just seems to be like a grandma. I keep saying grandma because that was who my one was. I always had a gran, but my gran was kind of more stylish.
It was the same for me. It's my grandma, so
maybe it's a grandma thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say let us know if your grandma looks like Rose West, but that might be a really weird thing. Depends on how much you like your grandma.
Yeah. If you love your grandma, then maybe don't compare.
If you love your grandma, maybe don't check, because you might be weird. It would be an awkward time at a family dinner.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, hi, grandma. Did you know you look like Rose West?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go out on a limb, probably go, she might know who Rose West is and really won't appreciate it.
Yeah. If, like us, though, and you don't like your grandma, then, let us know if your grandma looks like Rose West.
Yes. We say this. It was like, oh, you don't dislike your grandma that much. I forgot mine was dead. So,
yeah.
And I made Becky laugh a little bit out of that, because I was like, I can't find her. Oh, that's right. She died.
Yeah.
But that's because we're very interesting people.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
We have stories as to why we don't like them. And... Yes. These episodes are not for that.
No. That is what my therapist thought.
Yes.
It's a delight.
Oh. Thank you, therapist.
Yes. Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah.
So,
on that note, we should probably wrap this up.
Yes.
Because
so,
it's been quite a heavy one.
It's been quite a heavy one. There's only so much detail I think we really want to go into with these kinds of one, particularly when it comes to the murder and anything to do with children.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is just, you know, murder and rape and things like that are horrible, disgusting topics. But as soon as they start being done to children, there is just that different level.
Yeah.
So, big gold stars for everyone who made it through the episode, and big cuddles.
Yes.
Eventually we'll stop doing heavy episodes. They'll just be interspersed. We've kind of had a kind of run of them lately. We must do some happy ones.
But they will get at least, maybe not happier, but they will at least provide some more entertainment the next episodes that we're planning.
Yes.
So,
well, of course, follow us on all the socials. We are everywhere. Everywhere. We're inside your house.
Everywhere.
Find us on the Twitter. I'm going to say, I'm putting the on the front of things.
Yeah.
Find us on the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, and the Twitch. Oh, God, the Twitch doesn't sound right.
And the
that
Discord.
Sounds more like a horrible monster.
It does.
Have you got the Twitch? And of course, we have our dedicated Discord server. If you would like to join us, show us what you're up to, let us know if your grandma looks like Rosemary West, or anything.
Chat with us.
Yes, we love chatting. We love seeing what everyone has been up to. We do have an area for, like, if you paint or do anything creative or crafty,
yeah,
you can sling it in there and show us what you've been up to. As I said, so yeah, we were hinting at how we've got some fun episodes coming up. I hinted at it when we put in our little content warning. The next episode, I'm super psyched for, because it's going to be one where I get to have loads of fun. It's going to be getting ranty about and at movies. Ooh. So I think this might be a long episode.
Yeah.
I will try and keep it to a minimum, but everyone knows that I do love to have a good complain about movies, and that's before we get to historical accuracy.
Yeah.
Shockingly, I will be staying away from things like the TV shows The Vikings, because everyone knows my feelings towards that one already.
And it's not a movie.
We'll have to do TV shows separately. but we'll also have, and then our little mini-sode, sticking with our little ranty theme, Becky is going to try and convince me that Tolkien is not a good author. so, because Becky has some very strong opinions on Tolkien, how he's not a very, very good author, whereas I love Tolkien. So we're going to see if she can convince me that he actually isn't that good. Of course, I will occasionally be poking in, going, So we'll have to see. Can Becky convince me? What do you guys think? Let us know in the Discord. Do you think Becky will be able to convince me that Tolkien isn't that good?
Place your bets.
Maybe we should put up a poll on Twitter.
Yeah.
I might do that later.
Everyone will disagree with me again.
Look, it's not my fault that you were wrong about whether Die Hard was a Christmas movie or not.
Anyway,
we will talk. I hope everyone is staying safe and staying home and looking after themselves. This was a heavy episode, but remember to love yourself, do something fun.
Yeah.
And hopefully there is light at the end of the tunnel soon and we'll all be able to go back outside. And as I put it, touch my friends.
Yes.
So I look forward to doing that. Yes. And we'll talk at you in the next one.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Woo. Bye. No, oh wait, I forgot to say, fuck you, Wilson. It's at the end this time.
Bye. It is. And on that note, bye.
Bye.